that our hearts need to be warm toward our Lord Jesus Christ, for as a people, I'm afraid we are like that one of whom the prophet wrote, that he was well baked on one side, but rather soft on the other, cake not present. We know truth objectively, marvelous truth. Subjectively, sometimes I wonder if we put into practice what we really possess in an intellectual way. So it's my own exercise to seek to warm the hearts of the people of God wherever it is my privilege to go. So throughout the week, we have been occupied, or seeking, we sought to be occupied with Himself, with this particular theme, consider Him, that I, or that we, may know Him. Now certainly we are aware that that primary and initial knowledge of salvation is essential to a continuation in grasping more of Himself. First of all, we have to begin at the cross of Calvary. There find ourselves lost, ruined, and undone. But at the same place, to find that God is providing a remedy for my ruined estate. Now we praise God that in His loving kindness, because of what He was in Himself, God is love. And because He is love, He loved for loving sake. That's the only reason why He ever chose an object like the speaker that is before you. I say that in all sincerity before God. I wonder why He loved me. So, the answer is in Himself. He loved for loving sake. And that's the kind of love He wants to produce in us as the people of God.
It is a little difficult sometimes to keep from saying things that you ought not to say.
I hope that I don't love because somebody hands me a $10 bill. Preachers are known for that apparently in the world after the person. But I want the heart of the child of God. And simply to love because God loves. Not because a man or a woman is going under the flag of Plymouth Brethren, and I love the position that God has in His mercy brought me to. I believe it's the truth that God would have us to present for the day that we live in. But wherever I find a fellow child of God, I love them because God loves them. I believe that's the right position to take before God, and it's going to keep us in a right condition before God. That I sought to do amidst my own people in North Carolina. To love them simply for loving sake. And if you love in this manner, you're never disappointed. Because sometimes we love because we are loved. I've often heard the saints say, well, it doesn't show any love to me. What do you find in the Bible where you'd expect anybody to show love to you? We are to love. Oh, God help us as we go out of this conference, just to love, because He loves, and wait for His own recompense. Well, it's been a joy to speak about Him. I said, I believe previously in the week, I used to be the I in S-I-N, now I'm the I in H-I-N, by His grace. We praise God together for that. So it's been a joy to be with you and to speak about the man that we love together. Will you turn with me this morning to Psalm 16, first of all. Psalm 16, I'm going to try stand up, speak up, and shut up this morning. It's Saturday morning, you're rather weary after a long week. And we'll try to do that. Psalm 16. I love the psalm very, very much. It's been pointed out. A portion that I enjoy. Psalm 1. We have a faithful and fruitful man. In Psalm 14. A foolish and a filthy man. Psalm 22, forsaken and forgotten man. Psalm 32, a forgiven and favored man. The marvel of it is that the faithful and fruitful man, the man who is found in the place of abandonment by God, forsaken of God. I never say forsaken of the Father. I say forsaken of God. I believe that the Lord Jesus was never so precious, if I may use such language, as he was when hanging on that rugged Roman gibbet of shame, the utmost in obedience to his Father, and the Father was very near to him. But as God has a holier eye than to behold sin. So he had his back turned on the darling of his bosom. Our Lord Jesus Christ abandoned, that we ourselves might never know, abandonment by God. Never know forsaking. Never know departure, in that sense of the word. The turn back, that is hell. He took that place, for hell is the place of unanswered prayer. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my Lord? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Then the answer comes, that thou art holy. I revel in that. God is holy. He cannot look upon sin.
He cannot prove sin.
He's not congenial towards it in any sense of the word. Because God is holy. He is yesterday, today, forever. He is the same. When he speaks, you can count on it. Young, old alike, rest in the wisdom and the love of God as you face the evil of tomorrow. So the Psalms are lovely to consider they always provide something for my hungry soul. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. And I think of this in the language, if you'll please permit this. I think of this in the language of Philippians chapter 2. He who was in the form of God thought it not robbery or a thing to be grasped after, equal with God. It wasn't something that he covetously held to. He lay aside, or at least he veiled that glory. He didn't lay aside his deity. Deity was ever with him. Wherever you find his humanity expressed, you find his deity expressed in the gospel. He failed it. We cannot look on him in that sense. Whenever we see him, we're going to be like him. We have to be like him to see him. That's our portion for the coming day. So it says, my goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth. We needed it. Praise God, he has lavished it upon us. The goodness of God leads to repentance. We praise God. Our backs are turned on hell, our faces are toward heaven. Our backs are turned on that place of abandonment. Our faces are toward his acceptance. We stand in the beloved. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. But the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I like to think of the night seasons, if I may commend it to your thinking, as you find in various portions of the Psalms and elsewhere, the night seasons, those times when the sun seems to have set on you as an individual, the favor of God seems to be turned away, the heavens seem to be brass, and so on. Those times of sorrow, of trial and difficulty, The nightingale sings sweetest in the darkest hours, and so on. And may we find songs in the night. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel, my reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or in Sheol. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast shown me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Peter in Acts chapter 2 says, the Holy Spirit of God in David, or son David, spake of H-I-N, him. Now will you please turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 at verse 50. And he, that is our Lord Jesus, led him out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Acts chapter 1, please. Verse 10, Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. May the Lord take his word and use it mightily for our blessing and our instruction together. I have a poem I'd just like to leave with you this morning. The title, I Need a Body. I need a body for my use. Wilt thou not lend me thine? Surrender it to me, and I will every part refine. I'll touch the heart of it with love. Love for the heathen lost. Love that will give, and give, and give. And never count the cost. I need a body for my use. In it, I'll cross the seas. Its tongue my gospel shall declare. The truth that makes men free. With my divine compassion shall such great unction give that darkened souls the light shall see. The dead in sins shall live. I need a body for my use, with nurse or doctor's skill, someone who loves enough to care for the unlovely ill. Trained hands I'll need to bind sore wounds, kind hearts with love athrill, ready to help the helpless ones and quick to do thy will. I need a body for my use. Wilt thou not lend me thine? A living sacrifice I ask, that I with power divine, might claim it as my very own and use it as I will. Eternal blessings are assured. Your cup of joy I'll fill. And this has been before us somewhat throughout the week, I'm sure, that we might yield our bodies to the Holy Spirit of God. That divine person, not influence, certainly he wields an influence, but he is a person, who truly will manifest the Spirit of Christ in the lives of the people of God. Now you may not have to go to the foreign field, may not send you, as you've heard already, to the foreign field. There are plenty of foreign fields at home, actually. Pagans in America, they're abounding more and more. Sometimes we think they're virtually worse than the heathen. For with all the knowledge, radio programs and every sort of opportunity, and yet we get worse and worse, do we not? And so we need those at home who will display the gracious features of our Lord Jesus Christ and so attract men to himself. From Psalm 16 there's an expression that I'd like to have before our heart as we can conclude our own opportunities before you hear it now. The line hath fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I stand this morning, first of all, in a pleasant place of pardon. This is something of my own enjoyment, first of all. I will give you a little something as to our own responsibility. But first of all, I stand in a place of pardon. That is mine. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I stand before God forgiven. Indeed, a convicted criminal, justly, righteously condemned, but before the court of the universe, I plead guilty. God justifies the ungodly. Praise his name, I stand in the place of no condemnation. And that's your portion this morning as a fellow child of God. Standing in the place of no condemnation, I possess not only pardon, but I possess peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no longer any wrath in the heart of the living God towards the object of his grace. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ has procured it. Not of works of righteousness. Nay, my dear one, in the meeting this morning, but because of the free grace of the living God. I'm a subject of the unmerited favor, the kindness of God. Is there any of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? The Old Testament portrait? Praise God. Out of the house of his enemies was found a sinner like me. And God has showed me kindness because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. Therefore I possess peace with God then through our Lord Jesus Christ. How marvelous indeed as we journey along life's way and enter more and more into the purposes, the plans, and the power of the living God. We can say we have the peace of God. He who sits on the throne of the universe is not troubled by the ravings of foolish men. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Praise his name, he'll rise up one day, and the thrones of the universe are going to become his. He who has a right to the title deity of the universe, our Lord Jesus Christ.
And I pray, God, I'm going to possess a throne over here. My heart is blessed. You've been pardoned by the grace of God, forgiven. Indeed, peace with God known, the peace of God enjoyed. How blessed to know, as one companion along life's way, the very source of this peace, God Himself, the God of peace. My, what company we have along life's way. So, not only pardon, not only peace, but there is purpose to my life. At one time, a rolling stone indeed, accomplishing nothing, achieving nothing, getting further and further away from God, knowing more and more of the mire and the horror of sin. But now there is purpose to living, for to me, to live is Christ. Oh, a direction to one's life, achievement that will be for eternity. Indeed, to please God, what more profitable occupation as we journey here below? An unworthy wretch, and now the object of God's love and empowered to please the living God. Oh, how blessed to know such purpose in one's life. Not only purpose, but there is power to perform the purpose, for we are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We're strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Ah, yes, my fellow child of God, the waves may beat high, the tempest may roar, the power of hell may rise up in all of its force, but we are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. By that power that raised our Lord Jesus out from among the dead, and surely, if He can raise them out from among the dead, raise the dead to life again, there is nothing impossible to our God. Oh, rejoice in it as you go forth from this place, thus empowered to fulfill your purpose in life. Whatever He has set before your own heart to accomplish for Himself, He has empowered you to achieve it. As we said last evening, responsibility is response to God's ability. Only respond in absolute obedience to Himself, and He will empower where He commands. He will enable. May we go forward then for His glory and honor. Purpose in life. Not only purpose, but there is prosperity as well. I am in a pleasant place of prosperity. Mine. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Jesus of the world, our life or death, the things present, our things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. The story is told of the little girl on the train. She journeyed through the land to her destination, and as she traveled along, at the great wheat field, she said, "My, and all of that belongs to my father." In the great factories of the city, "My, and all of that belongs to my father." In all the great mines of the mountainous areas, "My, and all of that belongs to my father." Why, the fellow passed, he couldn't stand it any longer. He wanted to know who her father was. "My little lady, who is your father?" "Ah, God is my father." Aren't you glad? Ah, the world accumulates, as Egypt did. Egypt had the gold and the things. But the children of Israel went out loaded down with them. The Egyptians needed them no more, for the Red Sea swallowed them up. "Now, my friend, in the meeting, all things are yours. Oh, may we, while here below, lavish His boundless grace upon our fellows who are so poor. Isn't it terrible to be a poor rich man? This world's good, but nothing to sustain as far as the world to come. Praise God, I'm one of those fellows that has an invisible means of support. what's visible may be wiped away at any given moment. This is a very uncertain, the apostle wrote to Timothy, to tell those who are wealthy in this world good, not to trust in uncertain riches or the uncertainty of riches. I just tell you this because the mayor of our town says he must will never have anything. He's going to give it all away. I was out one day visiting with a family where there were about 15 children in the family, a baker's dozen. They were very poor. Here I left, the father lifted his foot, had a shoe on it. He said, Brother Venus, can you do anything about this? The sole of his foot was out. There's no leather on the bottom of his shoe. I said to him, can you wear these that I got on? He said, well, what are you going to do? And I came in the world without any on. I can go back to the house. I go back home without any. I pulled them off and they just fitted him fine. So I went home and I stopped in peace. Going to get it. Some of our relatives maybe would fight over it and so on. I'm very selfish in that way. Give it away. I'm in the pleasant place of prosperity. My father is rich, and why shouldn't I enrich others who are in this world? Then I'm likewise in the present a pleasant place of prosperity. A lot of peas, eh? Sweet peas. I hope they are for you. A pleasant place of prospect. What is before me now? Not hell, but heaven. Not room, but glory. Not rule, but wheel. Not cursing. May the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is anticipated. That has been spoken of a number of times throughout this conference. Hearts are truly, truly resting in the knowledge that he is coming again, and they believe sincerely that at hand. What is it for today? Are you ready to go back? Sometimes I think, I don't know how doctrinal the faith it is. Sometimes I think we're prepared to go to heaven, but we are not ready. We've got too many irons in the fire. And that song that you hear across the country sometimes, I think it's rather blasphemous personally. Wait a little longer, please Jesus. A dreadful thing. And yet they sing it as a religious song. The Lord gave you the joy and ease. Very precious, sweet Jesus. And now, in leaving you just this, from Luke chapter 24. If we enjoy what our Christ has bring, the truth that the lines have fallen to us, and I'm sure every godly Israelite, whenever he received his portion in the land of Palestine, the land of divine promise, every godly Israelite could truly say that the lines had fallen to him in pleasant places. His lot, his portion, was a goodly heritage. And let the people of God today, oh, may we be godly likewise, and whenever your lot has fallen, I know in some instances it's most trying. Most trying. I could say some things along that particular line. But what's the use? God knows all about them. These days, whenever racial discrimination, race feeling is so high, it's not easy to be an Indian. Not where I live. Hasn't been easy to rear my children in such circumstances.
my youngest daughter that I had expected to have with me here. My wife had her in a neighboring town 10 miles away when she was a baby, and she was sick. They wouldn't even give her a cup of water in her. Thank God that I came at her. If I'd been born in a rich family with a silver spoon in my mouth, with an acceptable group, perhaps I would have been in hell long ago. Instead, God has meant itself to it that the gospel came through our area some 50, 60 years ago by godly men, white men, who love the Lord Jesus. And those men didn't get very much out of Pembroke here as a singer. One of those men I heard of living for about a week on peanuts. They sacrificed to bring the gospel, and I thank God for it. I thank God for the lot that has fallen to me, that I might know God in redeeming grace. I might be linked with a new race, a new place before God, a child of God and heir, a joint heir with Jesus. Ken's attitude doesn't matter very much. I always feel that if one sets me aside because my skin is harsh, but I feel that it's true. I cannot be received as a man with some little intellect, and one who is made in the image and likeness of God, an object of the love of God. Well, why should I be troubled about the individual? So we seek to carry on for the glory of God amidst our own people. And in Louisiana, as I came back from the war, a chaplain from Minnesota, I told him the story of the area. He says, why don't you come up? Live in Minnesota. He didn't preach in our churches. He said, no, I'm going back to Robinson County of North Carolina. I'm going to serve my people. I hope you'll pray for me that we may go on to the glory of God. When I say pray, I do not say pay. If you pray, God will take care of the rest. You notice our Lord Jesus Christ when he led him out. So it was proper for him to lead his own out. They rejected him in the place of organized religion, society, politics, and what have you. Wasn't it right that he should lead his own out? He led them out. He has left you as a child of God with all the possessions that are yours in Christ outside the city, outside the camp. Song of Solomon, you'll find the bride and the bridegroom in the rural scene. It was in the city where she was wounded, but in the rural areas, and he ever called her away from those places to himself. And he calls you likewise to himself. He led them out. Separation. Now I don't believe in isolation, except from contagious diseases. The man is tied up in immorality, such like things, separate. Set him outside. Excommunicate. That's proper. If there's a doctrinal evil, that likewise. Isolate from that. And that in measure, of course, I qualify even that. Because we're the cry of God for such, and they're truly born again. But as believers, we're in the body of Christ. Let's love one another with pure hearts first. You look at me and you say, I can't love that fellow. That's a good acknowledgement. Tell God about it.
And you tell him to love me through you. And I'll tell him the same. Place of separation, not isolation. Separation is poverty. Too many of us think about giving up. Giving up, giving up. He's never asked me to give up anything that he hasn't returned manifold more. He always will. God will be no man's debtor, as a saying all of us are aware of, only with practice. So he leads us out into the place of separation. Separation to himself. Brought to him. Brought from evil. I never think of myself being separated from any of the people of God. I don't care what name they call themselves. I don't care who they are. They're truly born again. They're a fellow child of God. They may be associated with things that I can't go along with. But as an individual, I can be of help and blessing in any kind of a way. It's been my joy to do so. Because they belong to the body of Christ. Separation. It's poverty. Let's not allow it to draw us into legalism. Secondly, not as far as the Bethany. Why the Bethany? Why not the Capernaum? Why not the Nazareth? Oh, Bethany. So he has left us in the place of affection, of real love. And the separation is to be in love. Oh, my brother, my fellow traveler, fellow pilgrim, stranger here below, may we love one another with pure heart, forever among men. That you know all the doctrines as they are set forth in the Word of God and can consecutively give them? No. Certain position and you know that that position is correct and so on? No. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples in that you have love. It doesn't say one for another either. You can tell me you love me all you please, but you never look me in the face and shake my hand, smile at me and so on. I don't know that. Love one to another. May there be definite tokens of it, expressions of it, evidence of it. The world looking on may be a game as it was in the early days, as even said, my, how those Christians love one another. And every time you have this conference here, that one item burns warmly, everything else will take its place. Love one another with pure hearts. Fervently. So he let them out, as far as the Bethany. And then he lifted up his hand in benediction. Do we realize what a place of favor we've been left in as the sons of the living God, with the Word of God before us, the Spirit of God indwelling us, all the glories that lie before us? Jesus Christ is our great high priest, our intercessor, our advocate. What favor is now upon us as the people of God? The fullness of His smile, the warmth of His affection, all the prospects that lie before us. Ah, what a place of benediction, and those hands are still raised. Over you, over me. He led them out as far as the Bethany, and he lifted up his hand. And those hands uplifted, he went away. Then they worship. That's the greatest service that you can render. Now these days that we're in, we hear a lot about the gospel preaching. I'm not running it down, don't misunderstand. The Bible distinctly declares that they shall go in and out. A brother, a sister, you cannot reach the soul unless you have first been in to the presence of God and had your own heart warm there. Then you can go out to those without. And you will use T-A-C-T instead of a T-A-C-K. If you've been in first, and then go out. 1 Peter chapter 2 plainly declares that first of all,
We are a holy priesthood, and then secondly, a royal priesthood. We go in and exercise those functions of holy priests. And let me say this, if you never worship except on Lord's Day morning, you don't worship at all. Every time you bow your head at the table to give thanks for your food, that should be worship, first of all. Appreciation of God, what He is in Himself. You bow your knees and at night and in the morning, that should be worship, first of all. That outline given in Matthew chapter 6 begins with worship. It's an outline for prayer. God first, my fellow man next. He's God things next. As concerns me, then my things left. Worship. Worship. Appreciation of the worth, the value, the glory, the greatness, the majesty of God as an evidence in Jesus Christ. Worship. We left them in a place of occupation. We want you to be busy. Occupy till I come. Worship first. Service flowing out of worship. And it will be acceptable service. Finally, He has left us in a place of anticipation. This same Jesus shall so come as you've seen go. He's coming again. Clouds of His saints company. But when He comes, He's coming far, and then He'll come with. Think of the dreadful consequences to men and women who know not God in redeeming grace. Oh, my brother, my sister, may we become more occupied with Himself. We might be properly occupied with His service. Here they're looking. God richly bless every one of you. You go to your various fields of service. May we together have as our purpose in life are to meet, to live. It's right. Consider Him that I, that we may know Him. God bless every one of you. Now with our hands, I'm going to ask my brother Walden if he wants. Brother John.
Created and enjoyed these things that thou brought before us. We confess to thee that there is very much land yet to be possessed.
Amen.
And we pray that each of us will go away from this conference resolved by the Lord's help and grace. That we will go in for God's sake more than we have before.
Amen.
We thank thee for this wonderful anticipation.
Amen.
Of His return.
Amen.
And we remember this morning that many of thy dear people are suffering. There are many problems and difficulties that many of us have come here burdened about things that we do not even discuss. Oh Lord, we pray that whether our questions are answered and our problems are solved or not, that Thou will turn our eyes to our blessed Lord, that we may be sincerely crying out, even so come, Lord Jesus. We pray for our dear brethren in other parts of the world, suffering because of the oppressions of many ideologies, communism, Catholicism, nationalism. Oh Lord, we pray especially for our dear brothers and sisters from Africa just now.
Amen.
Give us tender hearts toward them, and help us to express it in any way we can. We look to thee now for the rest of the day, our time here together, help us to be help each other, and take our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.